This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. Don't be taking any of Rosenberg's garbage, Michael and Donnie. The Michael K. Show starts right now.
Thank you, Roman, and we'll talk to Roman at 6:30 today. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. Yeah. We thank you for joining us on a rainy Thursday. It's March 24th, 2022. The Jets tried to make a big trade yesterday, and the Nets made a big acquisition today with a huge assist from the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams. We talked about it toward the end of the show yesterday. That's when Jeff Passan and Adrian Wojnarowski broke the news, and Eric Adams in a press conference today in Citi Field said that he was lifting the mandate for entertainers and athletes. So that allows Kyrie Irving to play right away, all home games. That allows all unvaccinated Yankees and Mets to play in all the home games. It really solves everything for everybody except for Kyrie if the Nets play in Toronto, except for the 9 games that the Yankees play in Toronto. Because I was talking with somebody in Toronto last night, and they said they would be shocked if Toronto or Canada lifts the mandates, and they would be shocked if there are exemptions, because if there are exemptions, that there would be a lot of people that would be red hot about it. They would not allow it as citizens of Canada to be lifted. So that's something that the Yankees have to deal with, not the Mets. And from all the things that we could tell, there were more Mets that were unvaccinated than there were Yankees, although there's no real number. Nobody stepped up and said, I'm not vaccinated. They just kind of talked around it. But, you know, Eric Adams threw a big lifeline to the Nets, the Yankees, and the Mets.
Well, I've got a lot to say, but I can't say all of it because we're going to stick to sports.
Say it.
Well, there's a couple of things that went right first in my mind is if I'm a Net fan, I'm kind of red hot because there was no new science or really anything that changed over the last month at least, other than the fact we found out that the Mets and Yankees would be ineligible. So if I'm a Net fan, am I sitting here saying, well, I guess the Nets didn't move the needle, but the Yankees and Mets do, and that's why this mandate was changed? So it seems more politically driven than science driven. We didn't get any more information. It was a silly mandate and a stupid one, and I'm glad that it's gone. But the fight that the city had not to change it, not to maneuver around it, not even give you a scintilla of hope if you were a Net fan, that this was ever going to be lifted. And it wasn't going to be lifted because he didn't want another outbreak in the city, Michael. I'm using the mayor's words. I'm not defending the mandate. The mandate was stupid. What I'm arguing is the defense from the mayor on why it wasn't lifted over the last month when the numbers were practically down to a manageable amount, when we were in the low territory, and he would not budge. He would not move. And he threw things out like how unfair it would be to all of the other places that like the mandate. You know, he said that. He talked about how he wanted to keep it in place because he didn't want another outbreak. And then on top of that, how does it look when it seems like on the surface that millionaires are more important than the 1,400 people that lost their jobs? How do you get around that look? Entertainers and athletes, it's waived for. But do those 1,400 workers get their jobs back?
Well, some of the unions have spoken up today. The head of the policemen's union, the firemen's union, and they said, why are our people who actually save lives, why do they have to get vaccinated? And if not, they lose their job. And then there were union leaders that said these 1,400 people should be rehired as well. Unfortunately for them, though, those 1,400 people have been replaced. Adam said today, this is about putting New York athletes on a level playing field. We were treating our performers differently because they live and play in New York City. And that's true. And that was one of the things that I kept harping on as this went along.
Right.
Why do visiting players come into Barclays Center and if they're unvaccinated could play, but Kyrie Irving can't play? So there were so many inequities about this. And Don said it was a dumb rule. It became a dumb rule. It wasn't a dumb rule at the beginning. It became a dumb rule. Especially as everything else was lifted, you could have non-vaccinated people come into Barclays Center, but a non-vaccinated player couldn't play. It didn't make any sense. So they solved that problem, Don and Peter, but I believe that they've opened up a Pandora's box because you now have a lot of people that are red hot
right.
while you're doing this for athletes and entertainers. And you fired people that make $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year and really need those jobs, and they didn't want to get the vaccine.
And from a sports perspective, you know, it's great because it won't be an issue for the Yankees until they go to Toronto, which is not until May 2nd. It's great for the Mets, who seem to have several players unvaccinated, so we can kind of get back to normal, and hopefully this could be the last day we talk about it until the Yankees go to Toronto, when it could be revealed what players are vaccinated and unvaccinated. But for Kyrie, Michael, if he was a voice for the voiceless, if he really cared and the reason he was unvaccinated was because he cared about those 1,400 people that lost their jobs, then should he play these home games?
That's a pretty excellent point because they still have lost their jobs. So if you're trying to be a voice for the voiceless, doesn't matter if you're allowed to play or not. You're not being a voice for the voiceless because you got around it. You got around it because you're an entertainer slash athlete. You got around it. So you are not a voice for the voiceless. You are different than the voiceless. So we'll see. With Kyrie, he could pull any card out of the deck. We have no idea what he's going to do. None.
It would be fascinating if Kyrie said, you know what, I appreciate it, but I still can't play. It would be absolutely fascinating. But my guess is that won't happen. And if you're a Nets fan, Don, I hear the standpoint of being annoyed in many ways, but you also got to feel good. Because now with 7 of 8 games down the stretch that you were worried about not having him, you have him. Now, it wasn't enough last night, even though he was great. They still got worked, even with John Morant out of the lineup, and that's not what you want to see. But you got to be generally happy with the news today because there's no reason now, guys, at the very least, they can't get the best seating possible for the play-in game.
Because that's going to be important to avoid having to play in Toronto because you'd have no Kyrie for that game.
Here's Eric Adams when he made the announcement today at Citi Field.
Today I signed Emergency Executive Order 62, expanding the performance exemption to private employer mandates. This is about putting New York City-based performers on a level playing field. Day one, when I was mayor, I looked at the rule that stated hometown players had an unfair disadvantage for those who were coming to visit. And immediately, I felt we needed to look at that. But my medical professionals say, Eric, we're at a different place. We have to wait until we're at a place where we're at a low area and we can reexamine some of the mandates. We're here today.
I'll tell you what, he kind of sounds like a clown because he was saying, 3 days ago that he's not going to lift it because what's changed? Nothing has changed in the last month. Yeah. Don, you've been saying it over and over. If you're not going to lift it now, when are you going to lift it? What has changed in the last month other than that the baseball teams that have more economic impact on New York City became involved? Because the Nets, I think Kyrie would have been allowed to twist in the wind if it was just the Nets.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about competitive balance, where was the competitive balance for Kyrie and the Nets over the last couple of months? And he, in fairness to the mayor, he did say that it didn't seem to make sense, but at the same time defended the mandate and didn't change it. And it didn't become an issue until all of a sudden the baseball teams were affected. Now, the right thing is still being done from a sports perspective because it was silly that these guys were unable to play, especially the baseball players who were going to play outside. But he fought tooth and nail to keep it, and now he caves. And that's the sports perspective, but I do still feel bad for people that are not on the level of the athlete and the entertainer. Because you could say athlete and entertainer, guys, but you're also talking about affluent people. You're also talking
That's
about
true.
People that are on a higher level than a lot of other people. And as a mayor of a city, boy, it does kind of look like he's playing favoritism to the athletes and entertainers that in a lot of cases make way more money than other people that are still being affected by this mandate.
You know, the funny thing for me, guys, is that, and I guess this is part of just being a politician. You know, Michael, you said this the other day, and I feel the same way. Smart people have opinions evolve. I have no problem with people amending their decisions and saying, you know, I gave one opinion, but now I feel differently because I've learned new information. The problem here is he reversed course with confidence and gave this spiel with this vigor and zest as if something had happened. There's no new information. Like, this actually is just a flip-flop. Am I wrong?
No, and the thing that bothers me about it, and we should all be happy because we've been saying that these mandates don't make any sense, because if you're going to allow visiting players unvaccinated to play, then you should allow the players that are unvaccinated on the home team to play. So the people that play for New York City teams were unfairly marginalized. But I got to tell you, why wasn't this done at the beginning of the basketball season? Now that was with de Blasio. But if Mayor Adams feels this way, why wasn't this done in January? Because it's been patently unfair. So you can't use that as your trump card. You can't say, well, it's unfair that visiting athletes – well, it's been this way since you became mayor on January 1st.
Listen,
well, why are you changing on March 24th?
It should have been changed
in January.
Right. You said it. Words matter, okay? So you pay attention to what Mayor Adams said at this press conference, talking about that he got together with the people that were in a better place now. Well, we were probably in a better place 2 weeks ago, and you wouldn't even think of changing it. Right? You talk about it's time. Well, it's been time now for the last month. I mean, we've been a very good place since Omicron kind of faded, and now there's another variant that's here, and we could spike again, and now you're telling me that now is the time when it wasn't the time 2-3 weeks ago? So the timing seems odd, but, hey, it's here. I guess in the fairness from sports, again, leaving all the other politics aside, the unfairness and the egg that I think is on the mayor's face today, from a sports perspective, I think we're in a place right now that does seem fair. Kyrie should have been playing all along. The unvaccinated baseball player should be eligible to play. We didn't even think this was a thing a week ago, right? Or 2 weeks ago. Then we found out about this little thing de Blasio threw in before he left office that now it affected the baseball. We didn't even think this was an issue. And now, in from a sports perspective, it seems like the right thing happened, but overall it doesn't feel like the right thing happened.
Now, there's a couple of other things. Sandy Alderson and Randy Levine, the presidents of the Mets and the Yankees, respectively, flanked Mayor Adams during this press conference. And Randy Levine said one of the driving factors for the teams to lobby City Hall was the economic impact on the neighborhoods around Yankee Stadium and City Field. Sandy Alderson said that because the Mets are a vaccine-mandated employer, those who worked for the team who did not comply were fired. Then he was asked, well, why are the players allowed not to comply? He said, because of the players' union, they fall outside of our mandate. Now, Randy Levine also said that players who are not vaccinated will still be unable to play games in Toronto. Randy went on to say, it's still a problem. We hope to get everyone vaccinated. And then Eric Adams, the mayor, said, Kyrie, you should get vaccinated. This does not change my message that everyone should get vaccinated. It's the right decision to make. It's a sloppy way it was done. It was done at a timetable that looks ridiculous. But I think that the outcome was what it should be, because outdoor events, why the Yankees and the Mets wouldn't be allowed to play, beyond me, in an outdoor event. And why Kyrie was not allowed to play when visiting players who are unvaccinated could play, beyond me. Now, I've been saying this all week, so if you're listening to this show, this shouldn't surprise you. And Don and Peter could back me up. Of all the people I spoke to, the best word I could say is they were so chill about it. There was no urgency. There was no nervousness. What happens on April 7th? If the Yankees take the field, then player X and player Y and player Z it'll be fine. They were right. They knew. I don't know how they knew. I don't know what was going on behind closed doors. But for a week and a half, they knew. Even the day that this broke, there was no panic. None. Now, there might be panic on the Yankee side on May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th when they have a three-game series against the Blue Jays. They play 9 games in Toronto. And if you're a star on the Yankees, are you going to not play in those games?
Right.
And I don't think there's going to be an exemption, again, from the person who's pretty high up that I spoke to yesterday. He said, I cannot see them changing. I just can't.
Well, yeah, then that could affect the Mets, too. Who knows? The Mets and the Blue Jays could play in the World Series. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Now,
so what happened then?
It's interesting. You know, who does this help the most? Well, obviously it helps the Nets the most.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they get one of the greatest players in basketball back. So remember those 8 games that we said that he wasn't going to be able to play in 7 of them? Well, he's going to play in all of them now. The only way it hurts the Nets is if they lose to the Toronto Raptors in the playoffs, because he's not going to be able to play in Toronto. Other than that, they're home free. Now, P people just suppose, we have no idea because nobody made it public, that the Yankees would not have had at least Judge and Rizzo. So, obviously, if you don't have Judge and Rizzo, especially Judge, that's a big blow for the Yankees. But let's not forget, for the Mets, this probably saves their season. Because as far as I know, under 50% of their team last year was vaccinated. And the heavy-duty rumors, Don, was that Jacob deGrom, the opening day starter, was not vaccinated and refused to get vaccinated. So if that's in fact the case, that's a big blow for the Mets that, you know, your best pitcher, the guy that MLB Network chose as the best pitcher, starting pitcher in baseball, he might not have been able to play.
Well,
so I think everybody benefits, but the team that benefits the most on the court, on the field, because let's get away from the vaccine stuff because it gets too sloppy and too political, but the team that benefits the most on the playing surface is obviously the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, because they get their best player. Now, last night notwithstanding, which was a bad loss, no Morant. Now, listen, the Grizzlies are the second-best team of the Western Conference, but they didn't have their star. You were fully loaded and lost.
But it wasn't Kyrie's fault. He had 40.
No, absolutely. I'm just saying, but it's not all about Kyrie. It's about the rest of the team, and Durant and Kyrie were fine. But listen, it's not an issue now. Now they, instead of all the conversation about, well, Kyrie not playing, do you want to finish lower so you have home court disadvantage? Now go out and play and see if you can't pass Toronto now and make sure that it's, you know, you get to play, you know, the game in Brooklyn at least to start, and then move on from there. And now I think, Michael, if they get out of the play-in game and the awkwardness of maybe having to play Toronto, are they the favorites? Now you completely look at them differently now if you've got Kyrie and KD healthy for the entirety of the playoffs.
I mean, I like their chances that they go from a team that might have been eliminated in the first round to a team that has a chance to win a championship. Now, Ben Simmons doesn't look like he's getting back anytime soon. Seth Curry has an ankle issue. Drummond has not been playing either. So, I mean, these are concerns.
Yeah.
These are concerns.
But
I mean,
this was
you shouldn't go into Memphis against Ja Morant and lose. Although Memphis, I think Andrew told me they're 15-2 without Morant this year, which is amazing.
Crazy.
I don't get that. But I would love to know, maybe it'll come out in a book one day, the behind-the-scenes levers of power that were pulled to make Adams change his mind.
Well, and clearly levers were pulled, Michael. Because the way he's talking about, well, he talked to his experts and now's the time. Well, if Major League Baseball was talking for like the last 2 weeks that it wasn't going to be an issue, then they must have been told something that, don't worry, we'll at some point we're going to lift it. And so it wasn't like in the 0 hour we made a decision, that they knew this day was going to come. So this could have been done, and to a Net fan, it's like, hey, if that were the case, if you were telling people at Major League Baseball, don't worry about it, we're going to lift it, then why wasn't it lifted then, where Kyrie could have maybe played over the last 2 weeks?
I wonder if the baseball thing took them by surprise before the Daily News reported it and then the Post. I wonder if it took them by surprise. Because then all of a sudden this urgency snapped in, and it just makes it look, as Don would say, fat handy. You lift it the minute you get into office. Oh, wait. Visiting players could come and play. You're going to not play Kyrie? Then you lift it. So, but now I think you have opened the door for protest and lawsuits from the unions of the people that unfortunately lost their job. Now, everything would have been much easier if everybody just got the vaccination, but that's not the way it works. These people believed in it enough that they lost their job, a job that they probably needed a lot.
And Kyrie
lost about $15 million to be the voice of the voiceless, but is he going to play? Is he going to play because he still wants to be the voice of the voiceless? Is that better to play because you've been given preferential treatment, or is it better now to really make your point and sit out?
The thing is, too, I just wonder what he stood to benefit from doing it this way. Like, you're so right. If he comes right in and does it, I mean, maybe at that time he thought that those specific rules, Michael, would be useful. Maybe he really did believe it at first. And then as time went on and it started to feel like, wait, what's really the point of this? He felt like he had to just dig in and hang on to it. I don't know.
He doesn't come out of this covered in glory. It's game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We've got just one local today, Detroit at the Island to play the Islanders, 7:30 start, and that's on ESPN Plus now. Is that on 98.7 too?
Oh, sure, right after
All
the
right,
game.
All right, so 7 o'clock pregame, and 7:30 the puck drops. That's the only local. Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. And very quickly, I want to give you this. We'll get into it a little bit later on. 98.7 ESPN Hoops preview. It's brought to you by Covers.com. Sports bettors, make Covers.com your home for college basketball all tournament long. Winning starts at Covers.com. Arkansas, Gonzaga, 709 on CBS. Michigan, Villanova, 729 on TBS. Texas Tech, Duke, 939 on CBS. Houston and Arizona, 959 on TBS, as we are in the Sweet 16, baby. So let's see how that works out. St. Peter's does play tomorrow, but Duke, every time they play, this could be Coach K's last game on the bench. All right, we'll take your phone calls on the mandate change and what you think about the change and what team benefits the most. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
What's your matchup in drop host sadness?
Well, we talked about this because we let Peter down yesterday by not pushing them to vote for him, and he almost still won.
I'll tell you what. My feelings toward Peter made me not do it, and my feelings toward Rick made me also lay it out. So
you didn't vote. So that he lost by 2%, Michael. That might have been
No. If anything, I'm honest. I did vote for Rick, but
oh, okay. Wow.
If Michael comes out and says this morning, let's all support the show,
right,
and my
done.
Guy, I win. So
I wouldn't do it
now.
Not the way I feel.
You guys got to work that out. Now after what happened yesterday, trying to avoid it happening today, my matchup is with Dave. Now, I
have politic for you, my friend.
Now, they have obviously put this together. They rigged it for the two hosts to face each other in the championship, because why wouldn't you have the voting for 24 hours? I mean, all our polls are usually up that long. No, they put it from 6 to noon. So they get to promote it for the final 2 hours of their show. And then by the time we come on, they shut it down for 3 hours. So I'm doing it now. If you're listening, DR on ESPN is what you follow on Twitter. Go to it. And at 6 o'clock, between 6 and noon tomorrow, I mean, just wear out the votes for me if you can. Go. I think if you go to multiple devices, you might be able to vote again. Like if you vote on your tablet, then you try to go vote someplace else. Maybe you create different Twitter accounts. I want to beat Dave.
You know what?
I don't have a morning show like Peter did to kind of promote it. So, hey, I want to try to even these things out. And I'd make it fair. This isn't fair right now.
I will not, under any circumstances, politic for votes against Rick. And I will not ask the Carmy to do it. I mean, Rick is a delightful person. If you want to vote for him, you should. But I believe that you should vote for Don to beat Dave. And then, you know what, Don? You and I are so close that even if you met Rick in the final, I'd still politic for you, as much as I love Rick.
That's interesting.
So it's
now,
just me.
You're going up against Alan Hahn tomorrow.
No, I destroyed Hahn today.
Wow.
No, who do you did already? Oh, you did already. Okay.
My next matchup is against
Rick. That's right. So tomorrow it's Greeny and Jay Will.
Right. How about, do you see what Ty Butler did?
I saw.
What a nasty comment. Like, I don't know why, because Alan's a delight, but I mean, I really, really crushed him. And Ty wrote and said, listen, I love Alan. He's my guy, but I even was closer to Michael than Alan. It's not what you want to hear from a teammate. Surprising Ty move.
Now listen, this brings out the worst in people during these things. I mean, even what I'm doing now, I kind of feel bad about it, but I just also don't want to sit there and have a contest in which it's just so one-sided, rigged, if you will, for them.
If you feel that it's rigged, we'll have the exact same contest and put it during our time.
By the way, that's hilarious. We just do our own drop sadness.
Right. No, not drop. Host.
Host.
All right, let's go to the phones. Jason in Florida, New York. I don't know where Florida
is. There's a Florida, New York. Absolutely.
Okay. Hey, Jason.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
So, Michael, I just want to ask you, I don't understand how you can say that it's your choice to be vaccinated or not.
Oh, God.
And then a player that chooses not to may cost them 9 games, almost like a guilt to them. You know what I mean? Like, that was his choice.
But it's the player's choice. If he wants to miss the games, it's his choice. He doesn't have to get the vaccine. Nobody's saying if you don't get the vaccine, you're going to jail. They're saying if you don't get the vaccine, you can't play in Canada. So it's the player's choice.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you're not like a team player.
But it does, mean, like, it does affect somebody. Being, like when you say,
hey,
oh, but it does affect your teammates. What if they play in a? What if they play
Kyrie
in the playoffs?
Now. Kyrie's like a hero all of a sudden.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate circumstance. This Kyrie's going to look like a hero because Kyrie was the
unbelievable.
One who, and it's funny, Jay. I got to tell you, and I'm not saying this, and I don't even know which way you're leaning here, but I don't know what. It's just, I mean, this isn't even a Major League Baseball rule. This is a Canadian rule. So, I mean, if you can't play in Toronto, I mean, every country has the right to, you know, their own laws and rules. And their rule is that you can't come in if you're not vaccinated.
I guess he was leaning towards why would you place guilt on a player that didn't want to get vaccinated.
Guilt. I mean, it's up to his teammates to place guilt.
No, but you can't say that you're making these decisions in a vacuum. I mean, maybe everyday people can have that luxury to say, hey, my body, my choice. But when you're a teammate all right, forget about the 9 games. You probably could survive that. There's a good chance that some of these unvaccinated players might not play in all 9 games anyway. And if it's a pitcher, you know, we don't know, but if it's a pitcher, he might not be even scheduled to pitch in any of the 9 games. But what I'm saying is if they go to the playoffs and they meet in a 3-game playoff of the wild card and it's up in Toronto and you're a player that is a significant player, all right, you feel guilty or not, that's your choice, but you can't say it doesn't affect the guys you go to war with every day and that they're battling with, and you may not have a problem with that. I'm not telling you to feel guilty about it, but you can't say it doesn't affect other people. It affects your teammates. If you're one of the best players on the team and you're not available.
And another thing, every one of the teammates took the vaccine. They might not have felt comfortable about it, but they did because, you know, it's not an individual choice in that. It's a choice of 26 other men. So it's a tough call. So I don't feel sorry for the players that aren't vaccinated, can't play in Toronto. I feel sorry for their teammate. I don't feel sorry for them not getting paid for 9 games. You know who I feel sorry for? 1,400 people that really needed their job.
It's interesting, though. I don't relate to this. I mean, I understand what the caller was saying about, like, oh, now Kyrie looks like a hero, and that's unfortunate. It's not.
I think he meant if they won a title, he's going to look like a hero.
But even then, it's all in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah, because a lot of people.
Some people think it's great, some won't.
Yeah, you could think he's a tool for, I'm the voice of the voiceless, and now you don't have to get vaccinated, and you're going to go out there and play. If you really were a voice for the voiceless, shouldn't you protest these home games and not play? Again, I'm not telling him what to do, but if this was all about a protest, but if he plays, then what? I guess the protest is over? Because the mandate was lifted. Well, the mandate wasn't lifted for them. Those 1,400 people still lost their jobs. So if this was some protest for them, well, then aren't you abandoning them? Or no? It all depends on how you look at it.
Kyrie's a surprise a minute. I have no idea what he's going to do. I don't know if they'll step on the court the next time they play.
It's a great point, Michael. I have no idea. If you ask me what I think is going to happen, would I be surprised if there's a press conference before their game Saturday and he says, I'm not playing? I wouldn't be surprised at all.
No, not at all.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there and scores 50.
Yankees got a little bit of a break today. One of the Yankee killers, Randall Grichuk, traded from the Blue Jays to the Rockies for Raymil Tapia. Raymil Tapia. So that helps the Yankees just a wee bit. A lot of stuff going on. Did you see we're going to really get into this when we come back, but the Jets had the deal with the Chiefs. They had the deal. They were negotiating a contract with Tyreek Hill. So with him saying that I was never going to go to the Jets, he's lying. And we'll tell you why when we get back in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
The Jets' involvement in the Hill deal is not the first time the Jets were used as leverage. When Kirk Cousins left Washington to go to Minnesota. And here is Kirk on his NFL Life documentary in 2018 when he was a free agent.
Mike just called and the Jets came up to 30. So now you have what we wanted. Mike, he's just got to do the same thing with the Vikings because he's got to get them from 25 to a number that is competitive with the Jets' offer.
And then you wonder what the Jets' situation would be if Cousins took that 3 years, $30 million. Where would the Jets be right now?
Somewhere between indifferent and good.
Well done.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so along those lines, so Tyreek Hill said, I was never going to the Jets. Well, then he's either a fraud, a phony, or a liar, because Drew Rosenhaus's agent said that the Chiefs had essentially accepted the Jets' offer, and they were negotiating a contract with the Jets for Tyreek Hill. It's being reported. They were negotiating a contract. And then the Dolphins got wind of it and then jumped in. And then once the Dolphins got in, then Tyreek Hill said, that's where I want to go. But don't say I wasn't going to the Jets, because you were going to the Jets unless the Dolphins jumped in. So you could say how picky you are now, but you really weren't that picky. Now, what Don was saying in the rejoin, was that Drew Rosenhaus's plan all the time so that the Dolphins would get involved once they heard that the Jets were in it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But to say that it was no way with the Jets, well, that's just not true. You were negotiating a contract with them.
But I do think that the plan was to go to Miami all along. But anytime you bring in another team and have that team make an offer and have that team sit down and negotiate with the player, you're taking a chance that the Dolphins go, okay, I'm out. So you have to at least admit that there is a possibility, Tyreek, that you might have to play for the Jets if it doesn't break our way. But Rosenhaus is, he's the football version of Scott Boras, right? So
I'm sure the
whole plan, and maybe the Jets were in on it and knew that this was all a way to get the Dolphins, to get the most out of the Dolphins. And it benefits the Jets for the Dolphins to pay more money and to give up more prospects for Hill. So I would not be surprised that the Jets knew all along that this wasn't going to work out and were happily involved.
Now, in the Deshaun Watson front, Ed Gallick of Fox News in Houston said that a second grand jury in Texas has decided no charges against New Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson under investigation for sexual misconduct claims. So they have it. There's two grand juries that said no charges. That doesn't mean that nothing happened, but that means that they can't prove anything happened. So at some point, you do have to let the guy up. I think he's going to get punished by the NFL, but two separate independent grand juries decided to not press charges against this guy. And there are 22 women that say that he has actually sexually assaulted them. 22. And not one of them, according to the grand jury, felt that they could make a charge stick. It's amazing to me.
But you would think, Michael, that the second grand jury would see the same thing the first one did.
But
no new evidence
was
presented.
So you could say, well, the other grand jury just missed something. Well, this one showed they got the same evidence.
Yeah, so but it gets to the point where if you're the Cleveland Browns, is you think you're good. That there's been two grand juries that haven't been able to find enough evidence to take it to trial. He will be suspended, but this kind of shows you that he's not going to do any jail time. He'll be eligible to play once the suspension. happens. The only thing is you just hope that he doesn't get involved in something else.
I'm confused about how we got to the grand jury. Because, like, wasn't everyone just seeking personal damages?
Yeah, but they wanted to see if there was actually laws that were broken.
So who steps in and says that? The government?
I think the government said, well, let's look into this, man. Let's get what we can get and put in front of a grand jury.
And so not once but twice they did that and said, nah, nothing here.
Right.
Not enough here.
The second grand jury probably saw exactly what the first grand jury did. Like Michael said, it was almost just a way of checking their work. Was there anything that they missed that makes it look like we might be able to get a conviction? No, we're not going to be able to get a conviction. Why bother?
I think also the first grand jury investigated a certain amount of the 22. And I think this one represented or took a look at the other left, the other ones that weren't looked at by the first grand jury. So, I mean, it's complicated, but he is not going to have charges. He's not going to jail, let's put it like that.
Yeah.
He might go to NFL jail for how long, I'm not sure, but he's not going behind bars.
So that means that, essentially, unless some bombshell comes out, and obviously with this, it would have to be a monster bombshell because this whole thing's been a bombshell and he's still playing. So we're talking about unless a video, audio, something that really is beyond the pale damning happens, we're probably looking at worst case 4 to 6 games.
I'd say there's more like six. Yeah, there's no charges. So now Goodell gets to play judge, jury.
So if we all agree worst case is 6, you still get him for 11 games, I'm sure, in Cleveland's mind. Well, that's a hell of a deal for them.
Well, and then it's not just this year. It's even beyond.
Right. This is only for 1 year that it's affecting you at all, and it won't bury the entire season.
The thing that's a shame for these women, and let's not forget about them, there's 22 of them, is, what was the abuse verbal? Like, so there's no audio, there's no video, there's, like, just no way to prove, I guess at this point, like, there's no smoking gun, right? There's, I guess it's his word against theirs.
Well, Ian,
you would
Rappaport
think 22 women would be a powerful voice, but... Again, that if you don't have anything other than their word against his, is that enough to feel comfortable to think that you're going to get a conviction?
Well, Ian Rappaport explained it better. He said it's another grand jury, a different county, and a different DA, and again, no charges. So I guess some of these women were from another county than the previous grand jury.
But the NFL is going to look at it and say, 22 women, something happened here, and we're going to make you pay by how many games. And I would think they would probably lean on the side of more than less, especially after all the awkwardness that they've had back in the past. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's an 8-game suspension and then the union brings it down to 6, or it's a 6-game suspension, it's down to 4. I'm going to guess it's probably going to be 6 because of the number of the women.
I would agree. Now, the other big story today, which we've covered a lot, is that Mayor Adams of New York City has rescinded the mandate for entertainers and athletes. So the next home game for the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving is going to play. Well, he's allowed to play. Let's put it that way. We never can get him in Kyrie's mind. And then on April 7th, whichever Yankees are unvaccinated will, in fact, be able to play against the Red Sox on April 7th. Now, for the Mets, it's clear sailing for them if they get to the World Series against the Blue Jays. They have a lot of players that are unvaccinated and a lot of players that were dug in about getting vaccinated. So they will be able to play wherever they play, especially the 81 games at Citi Field and the two other games at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees, though, do have a little bit of a conundrum because at the start of May, they have 3 games against Toronto, a team that people are looking at that could run and do some damage in the AL East. Again, we don't know who's not vaccinated. We can only surmise some pretty big players. Did you see the story about the Red Sox, though, guys? They were negotiating with Trevor Story. And the Red Sox played 9 games against Toronto as well. And the Red Sox know that those 9 games could decide who gets into the playoffs or not. And Trevor Story would not get the vaccine, had not gotten the vaccine at all. And the Red Sox said, I don't think we're going to be able to sign you then. And all of a sudden, he got the vaccine. So what Don said was true the other day. There aren't many Kyrie Irvings out there. Because Trevor Story wasn't getting a lot of offers. So if he's just turned out 6 years, 140, because he didn't want to get the vaccine, well, the Red Sox, to their credit, said sorry, then, it's not going to happen. we can't do that. We can't have you miss, you know, 9 games against one of our rivals. We can't do it. And maybe they didn't even know about what was going to happen in New York, but visiting players seemed like they were going to be able to play.
Oh, I would think that if you're a player that is against the vaccination, then you wouldn't get the vaccination. If you know you're eventually going to cave, wouldn't you get it? Get it sooner than later. Like, what is the benefit of an unvaccinated player to say, well, I don't want to be vaccinated now, but when we get to May 2nd, I'll get vaccinated? That doesn't sound like you have a lot of conviction on it. Now, obviously, Story was placed where, right, you're not going to sign. So he had to make a choice. What's more important, signing with the Red Sox or getting vaccinated?
Now, let's play this
game,
Don.
Or not getting vaccinated.
Let's play this game.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if Aaron Judge is vaccinated or not.
I don't. I'm still going to stand that I think he is.
Okay, but let's say he's not because he's not answering. Which is his right.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Yankees say, well, here's the extension, but we need you to be vaccinated? Now, no team could order a guy to be vaccinated because of the union. But you could say, we're not giving you a contract if you're not vaccinated.
Right, of course.
Which is what the Red Sox did.
Now, we don't know what happened with Rizzo because has anybody asked him or is he playing the same game? I don't want to answer it.
I'm sure. I mean, don't you think Brian Cashman asked him?
Right, but
for the most part, there's a lot of lefties in Toronto's rotation, a lot of righties in Toronto's rotation.
Right.
Are you going to not have Rizzo play those games?
Right, but you signed Rizzo to a 2-year contract.
So I don't know if, in fact, they asked him. I think if you're doing due diligence, you do have.
Right,
to
but
ask.
You didn't play that game with Rizzo. You're like, listen, if you want to be a Yankee, you got to get vaccinated.
We don't know. Maybe they did play that game. I mean, the only reason we know that the Red Sox played that game with Story is Jeff Passan broke the story.
Right. So we don't know. Now, if Rizzo's vaccinated, there's a possibility that the Yankees influenced it. But if he's unvaccinated, then that meant the Yankees either didn't go there or it wasn't enough to make them change their mind. But I think that would be a good negotiation ploy. It's like, listen, we want to make sure that you're available. Again, we don't know how long this is going to be. Michael, there's a possibility that the Yankees open in Toronto next year. And this mandate's still in place. We don't know. So you're going to give a contract extension to a guy that might not be able to play in some of the biggest games of the year? Like, so I think it would be fair for Brian. Listen, you want the extension now, get vaccinated. No? Okay, well, we'll continue negotiations, but we would have accepted your offer if you were vaccinated. It's worth the ask. He's a very important player.
It's true.
He's probably the most. Couple of very interesting tweet questions about the Watson stuff, and I want to read them. Alan Root said about Watson, remind me what Robert Kraft got for his incident. Can't recall. Well, he didn't get anything. Well, I will tell you this, Alan. Roger Goodell disciplining Robert Kraft would be like Don's twins disciplining Don and Nancy. Roger Goodell works for the guy. He doesn't have any jurisdiction. I mean, he could try to get rid of him. He'd get fired.
Right. But
and then he has all the power over the players, which they allowed their CBA. There's the difference. So there were no charges because of some unbelievable lawyering by Robert Kraft's people that they even got the tape destroyed. But something did happen in the Orchids of Asia, and Mr. Kraft was not disciplined. But you can't expect a guy's employee to discipline him.
And how do you discipline him? You suspend him? Well, you can't go. You can't go to 8 games.
Well, they did it to George Steinbrenner. They could have suspended him, I guess.
Yeah,
or they could have fined him or taken a draft pick away.
Well, but the George Steinbrenner, he was banned from baseball. He had to reapply to get back in. Was any of that, Michael, enough that you were going to ban Robert Kraft, like for a year or two?
No, but you could have taken something away from his team, like a first round draft pick.
I guess you could have done that, but like you said, how is that going to look when you know? Like you just said, with it's family. I mean, he works for you. He's your boss.
Now, Eric Dolagan said, I'm just curious. If Watson sat out the entire season last year and now no criminal charges, why is a suspension guaranteed? Would they consider time served already? He didn't serve time last year.
No.
Eric, he got paid every dime of his contract. He didn't want to play for the Texans. So if he got suspended now, he would not get paid. Now, the way they've structured the contract, it wouldn't even amount to a slap on the wrist, but he would not get paid. That's the difference.
Him missing last year had nothing to do with the allegations. He was holding out. Then the allegations came out at around the same time. Now, Trevor Bauer, that situation could be time served, right?
No,
they're holding
he got
him
paid
out
too.
While they're. What's that?
He got paid.
But I'm saying they're holding him out because they're investigating the case. So if they decided they investigated the case and they wanted to give him a 50-game suspension, could it be time served because he sat out for how many games?
No, because he got paid for those games. If they suspended him for 50, he wouldn't get paid. He got paid. He's been paid every dime of his contract, much to the Dodgers' consternation.
I'm looking up consternation just to get it exactly right.
But that's not. That's at least a word I've heard of.
Well, I was going to say, but let's be honest. Why have you heard of it, Don?
No, I'm not going to pin that on Michael.
Go ahead. Tell me what it means. Then let's play this game.
I don't want to get into. I've heard the word, and it seemed to fit in the sentence that he said it in.
Michael, but now give me the definition of consternation. I'm going to see if you're even dead.
Something that you're worried about. Something that concerns you.
Wow, he's very good. Listen, he's obnoxious and smarmy, but he's dead right. Feelings of anxiety or dismay. Typically, it's something unexpected.
There you go, consternation. Now, before we get to your phone calls, I found it very humorous. So I was in a car coming back from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And, ESPN released the logo for the K-Rod cast.
Gorgeous.
And the schedule of when we're going to do it, blah, blah, blah. And I don't read mentions anymore, but I said this is going to be fun because think about it. A-Rod, nobody's gray on A-Rod.
Nope.
You either love him or you despise him.
Very polarizing.
Right. And I'm certainly not a critical darling. Let's put it that way. You should have seen some of the. One guy said, I'd rather jump into a pool with a plugged-in toaster than listen to that.
Well, then have fun, dude.
But then I would have gotten suspended. I almost said, have fun. Another guy
standing in a tub of water with a plugged-in toaster.
This guy, I would A-Rod's great, but I'm not going to suffer through. A guy who follows me.
Well, again,
that's
you've got
the beauty.
A perfect.
You could actually listen to Carl and David and Eduardo if you don't want to see me.
Listen, I got to say something, Don. Michael and I aren't in a great place right now.
Really bad.
I borderline can't stand him.
And I hate you.
But
and listen, just to be that guy, the information that I have at my disposal, I'm siding with Peter.
Thank you, Don. But I'll say this. This is a gorgeous logo.
Yeah,
this is much better than I thought. It actually is very cool. Like, I actually want to know who did this at ESPN. This is damn good. If we had anything that looked this good, I'd be excited, with all due respect.
Okay.
With the home plate underneath kind of holding the K-Rod, this looks like something. And then they can use this. You can use this also, Michael, with the bats they have up and down the side that now say K-Rod.
Yep.
You replace K-Rod on those bats with the list of guests for that week.
See, I didn't even think about that.
Tell the people that. That's what you do.
You can't believe. I mean, I was on a Zoom call yesterday for about an hour and a half. They really, they want this to work. They did research. They did an hour and a half research presentation on what's worked in other casts and what worked, what didn't work with the Manning cast, what didn't work, and it's just phenomenal.
Let me tell you something. Of course, they put in the work because they want it to work. ESPN wants everything to work.
But there's a guy that would rather jump in a pool with a plugged-in toaster.
Tell you, I'm going to take back what I said about A-Rod being polarizing. Right. It's not A-Rod. It's not you. It's the Yankees. Because let's face it, if Alex Rodriguez had all the things happen to him that happened to him, and he stayed in Texas his entire career, nobody would care. They'd know about it. They might have an opinion, but it really wouldn't get everybody crazy because he's a Ranger. And if you were the voice of the White Sox, again, nobody would care. But you're the voice of the Yankees. He played a good portion of his career and got caught with the PEDs, during his Yankee career. That's what's polarizing because there is no average feeling about the Yankees. You either love them or hate them. So this is all how polarizing the Yankees are.
Well, I love
and there were
you.
People that'll hate watch, and you know what? Nielsen still acknowledges them.
I love you, but I mean, people in New York. There are two critics that despise me, think I'm terrible. It has nothing to do with me being a Yankee broadcaster.
But no one reads them, so.
Bob! think people, there are people
Tweet
that have
that.
Never heard you, that once they find out you're the Yankee announcer, just instantly hate you.
Print
that.
That's how you were before we worked together.
Well, my opinion of you had nothing to do with you as a quality broadcaster. I thought you were good. But you were the Yankee announcer, and I'm a Met fan, so I didn't like you. And because of something that one time you said. And I remember exactly where I was, Peter, when he said it. I was crossing the George Washington Bridge.
And it has something to do with the Q44.
Okay.
The Q44. The bus
that I used to take to Shea Stadium. When
right, but what he said, and I might be paraphrasing because it was like literally 30 years ago, almost. Well, no, it was Interleague play started in 97, so this was 1998. And it was a Friday. And it's the first game at Shea. And so he's talking with John about, oh, he's back at Shea Stadium. Of course, you remember the Yankees played at Shea Stadium when they were renovating Yankee Stadium. And Michael said he'd go to those games. And he'd have to go home after and shower.
I remember.
Well, it's a new audience. You try to keep it fresh.
No. I didn't remember, and now I do.
Now, did anybody happen to see the name of the DA? Ambrosia County, however you pronounce it?
No.
Tom Selleck.
Wow. Busy man.
That's a strong name.
Lots to do.
Right now, you know, there's people that remember him from Magnum P.I., and there's certainly people that know him from Blue Bloods. But lately, because I do a lot of television watching during the day, I think of Reverse Mortgage.
Wow.
Now, he could sell a reverse mortgage, I'll tell you.
Ryan Hurley, don't do the reverse mortgage, Don. You don't need it.
No, I'm just
because you're making big money. Don't put a lien on your house, essentially. So Ryan Hurley just texted me. He said, you know, you're making like most of the comments were positive, but it's only fun if I bring up the negative. Because we are going to read all the negative comments on the air.
Oh.
That's a big part of what we do.
That should be a segment.
It is. It's lifting it right from Jimmy Kimmel, mean tweets.
Don't worry. Jimmy Kimmel lifted it from me first. I told you. You don't believe me, but it's true. It started out as a Hot 97 morning thing, lifted to Kimmel. Now we lift back.
Are those mean tweets real?
I think so.
Because they're fantastic. I didn't think people on Twitter were that smart.
Let me tell you one
humorous.
Thing. Okay. If I have a choice between believing Jimmy Kimmel or you, it's going to be Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, hold on, but you don't even know the story. Don, let me talk to you, someone who will listen.
Right. And somebody actually likes you.
Years ago, thank you. Someone
I
who liked
him
me.
Until yesterday.
Someone who likes me and cares for me. So,
yeah.
Years ago, on the morning show, I started reading mean tweets. This was in the early days of, relatively early
Did
days
Did you call
of
it mean tweets?
I don't think we called it mean tweets. Okay. No, I'll be honest. I don't think it was called mean tweets. But it was a segment, and I would sit there and read all the things people had to say about me. And around that same period of time, we did a bit on the morning show where we had Little John recreate the theme song to Sesame Street, right? Except he made it, like, very filthy. He's cursing. It's up-tempo. It's crazy. Mm. And we made it a whole bit. And we then hear from Jimmy Kimmel Show. And they say, hey, we love your Lil Jon bit. Can we use this? And we said, sure. And they did one of those things where, you know, Jimmy talks about something funny that he saw and he shows it. Okay? So now you fast forward another few months, and all of a sudden, mean tweet starts on Jimmy Kimmel. Is it crazy, Don, to think that someone who was doing a show paid attention to what we were doing?
Yes. It was stolen.
It's stolen, and I'm good with it. I'm good with it, but I'm going to claim it still. I'm going to claim it.
You claim it. You deserve it.
I love Kimmel. Kimmel's the only – he's the only man of modern-day late night who I truly love is Jimmy Kimmel.
It's all I watch when I used to stay up that late.
You don't like Fallon and Colbert?
I mean, I like them as comedians, but I only watch Kimmel.
Wow. Company man. I love it.
Yeah, I think they're both talented, but it's
Colbert is fine, but you know, Fallon's too – I don't know if silly's the right word, but...
No, Don, I'll help you. You want your late night... Listen, we all grew up, all of us, grew up to some degree on Carson. And Carson had edge. Kimmel's the only one with any edge.
Wait a minute. Colbert has edge.
Colbert has edge. He does, in a different sort of way. But you're right, he does. Jimmy, though, has no... Fallon has no edge. You can love him, not love him, whatever you want, but you can't say there's any edge.
I'm a fan of Fallon, but you know what I like when my comedians don't find the joke as funny as your audience does.
Yeah,
listening to Bobby Knight. Let's take a brief time out. Something happened today when I got on a plane. I had a very, very dark thought.
Oh, no.
I live in dark thoughts anyway, but this was scary, and I'm going to tell you why when we get back, and we'll take your phone calls as well, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. I'm Sully.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
We got the Sweet 16 starting tonight. Arkansas against Gonzaga. That is a 7:09 start. You can see it on CBS. Michigan, Villanova, 7:29. That's on TBS. Texas Tech against Duke. A veteran Texas Tech team, a freshman-laden Duke team, 9:39 start. That's on CBS. And Houston against Arizona, 9:59, and that is on TBS. That's our Hoops update.
Got a very interesting phone call today.
From?
I missed it, but I got a very long voicemail.
Okay.
From Mike Westhoff.
Really?
And the reason I bring it up is because his book is done, and it's going to be out in July. And he's really excited about it, and he wants to come on to promote it. And the reason he thought of me, Michael, is because he read my name in the audiobook. He's doing the audiobook. And
really?
And we're in it, so I'm excited to read how we're in it. And I love him, and I hope his book does well. It's coming out in July.
I love it. Love when you love people. So I'm in Tampa this morning at an 8:05 flight.
Ugh.
Which
that's
means getting
it's dedicated
up at 6.
To the show.
Yeah, because I had to get back.
You would have taken the 2:30 and just taken off.
Hold on. That is only sometimes true. And no, I'm just groaning for Michael because I hate when – if you get an 8 o'clock flight, you know you're up at 6 on the dot. It's just, yeah. At least 5:30. It's a pain.
And it's pouring out. Lightning. Thunder. The whole deal. Not something that you'd like to fly in. Then I take – it's a JetBlue flight. Delightful airline.
I'm a fan.
The entire plane is painted with Red Sox logos.
What?
They call the plane the Red Sox plane because they're a sponsor, I guess, of the Red Sox. That's one of their corporate sponsors.
Come on.
So I kept thinking, God forbid, if something happens to this flight.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
The headline?
Yeah.
We all know the headlines, see ya, no matter what. But now the second line is, see ya.
In a Yankee, Red Sox plane.
Yankee announcer perishes in Red Sox plane. Wow.
Yeah, it landed. It landed fine, though. Have either of you guys, I believe Peter has, have either of you guys seen LaGuardia Airport recently?
Oh, the new terminal? The JetBlue terminal?
It's unbelievable.
I know.
It's like one of the great airports that you'll ever see, and it used to be an absolute dump where you'd have to, like, run around large pony-like rats just to get to your gate. It's gorgeous. It's sparkling. It's got the best restaurants and stores. I can't believe they did it.
I know. I saw someone the other day still complaining about it and being like, I don't care what they did. It still sucks. Listen, I know not every terminal's there is on the level of that terminal, but if you do the JetBlue terminal, I don't know who else is in that terminal besides JetBlue, but if you're in that terminal, it is, Michael, the options for food.
Oh.
It's really it's a place
amazing.
To hang out.
Yeah, listen, if you're really bored one night, just go hang out at the terminal. You don't even have a flight. But there was a woman next to me in the plane that was complaining. I don't know why she thought that I cared any bit, but she said, "Have you been in a new terminal?" I said, "No." She said, "You know, it's all carpeted." I said, "Yeah, they did a nice job." She goes, "That's not a nice job." I said, "Why?" She goes, "My wheelie rug luggage it doesn't roll on carpet."
Okay.
I said, I'm sorry to hear that.
We're getting new luggage.
By the way, that sounds like a bad wheel. That sounds like a you problem.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the Earl of Brooklyn. Earl, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good. How you doing?
Good.
Hope
how are you?
Everything is well with you, with the family. I just got a little gripe. Hey, Don and Mike, why are we hopping on Deshaun Watson and if the NFL should fine him or whatever? He was found not guilty.
He's
going
to be suspended,
court.
Earl. Earl, it's not even. I'm not rooting for it. He's going to be suspended.
But why would he be suspended? Because did they suspend Kraft? Did they suspend Marv Albert when he had allegations and all
yeah.
that?
Yeah, no, they fired him.
He got fired from MSG.
Fired.
Yeah, he got suspended. He got fired.
And that's then it. And then he came back, correct?
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Then Watson is going to come
back. Saying that Watson's career is going to be over. He's going to be suspended, Earl.
Right. Was Ben okay. Roethlisberger okay. suspended? Was Jose Reyes suspended
Mike,
by the
Mike,
Rockies?
Go
He's
off.
Going to get suspended.
Mike. Okay, Mike.
It was negotiated in the CBA, Earl. Blame the players. They negotiated it.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Thanks, gentlemen.
Do.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I again, you bring up Marv, and you got it wrong. He lost his job. Was he supposed to never work again?
Well, let's just
be
honest.
He lost his job at NBC. He lost the finals.
Can we just be honest?
Yeah.
That point that he made did not support his argument very well. In fact, I would argue it was – I've never heard someone. Yeah, I've never heard someone actually completely argue against themselves. But no one here is suggesting that Deshaun Watson doesn't have a right to pursue a career. We're just being realistic about what's going to happen. And there's going to be something.
And again, we don't know exactly what happened with Robert Kraft, but is it equal?
No. Not what's being alleged.
Now, yeah, I'm just going by what's being alleged.
And by the way, Andrew did find that they did suspend the owner of the Colts, Irsay.
Oh, Robert Irsay.
Jim Irsay.
Yeah.
Jimmy, yeah.
Yeah, so, he was suspended.
Yeah, because it was I don't even think he was drinking and driving. I think he was under the influence
pills.
Of drugs and pills and everything. So, no, you know, don't – I understand it does seem odd that there is not going to be any conviction and he still gets suspended, but this is the way that leagues bounce up. Baseball did it too with Jose Reyes, is that you get involved. It's a big PR stunt. I get it, but it's almost like the NFL just acknowledging something happened here. We're not trying to ignore it. It goes back to the Rice stuff from years ago where they're trying to take these things seriously, and they are well within their right. It was negotiated in the collective bargaining agreement that he can be suspended even though there's no conviction or arrest.
Here's the thing that Earl said that concerned me, though, guys. Hey, he was proven innocent. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
They don't have enough to convict him in a trial of his peers. Now, when you say he's done nothing, right, you're telling me that 22 women got together and every single one of them lied. So that means you don't believe any of the women's accusations. None of them. That's what angered me about what Jimmy Haslam said. So you're telling me that all 22 women, in your opinion, lied. I don't believe it.
Right.
I don't believe it. I'm not saying that every single one told the truth. I have no idea. But you cannot tell me that 22 women, many of them who don't even know each other, would come up with the same fakakta story. I don't believe that.
And when you're talking about a case of this magnitude, this high profile, what they want to do is they want to make sure that they've got at least a shot at a conviction. And a conviction means beyond a reasonable doubt, which means if you believe as a jury that he's 99% guilty, then you've got to go not guilty. So are you going to go through that time and money when you think it's a long shot to get a conviction? That's why there's no trial. Nobody's saying that he's innocent. Maybe he is. But it's just not enough to take it to trial does not mean he's been completely exonerated. There's 22 women that have a voice. If you think those 22 women all got together, came up with a story for a money grab, then you're entitled to that opinion. But the NFL is going to look at that and say, how is that going to be that there's 22 women that came forward and we don't do anything to this guy? Now, how long he's suspended? Michael, I don't think we're rooting for it. We're telling you the fact. He is going to get suspended. Well, it's just a matter of how long.
You have not heard any of the three of us say, I hope he's suspended. No, we're telling you what we think is going to happen, Earl. We think he's going to, maybe he's not, but I'd be highly surprised if he's not suspended for some amount of games. And the Browns would be completely startled, because if you look at the way they structured the contract, they're expecting him to be suspended because the first year he makes $1 million. Every other year he's making over $35 million.
Yeah.
So they knew exactly what's coming.
And they probably had inside information that the second grand jury was going to do the same, and now they're covered. So there was two that couldn't come up with anything, so now they probably figure, all right, there's nothing else that's going to stand in the way. The only thing now they've got to hold their breath is this somebody that could do something like this again? Like, does he have a real problem where he might find himself in a similar situation? But they interviewed him. He was a perfect citizen as far as we know before these allegations. But they're still taking a chance, guys. That's a lot of guaranteed money if he got himself in trouble again.
All right, let's take a brief time out. More of your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. Then we have ENN. Voting on Drop Madness continues at 6:30. We will talk to Roman Reigns of the WWE.
That's right.
A lot of shows still to come. Please be here with us right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mile High Stadium, where the Broncos players, a lot of it's on fire. And I'm always, shocked at that. It's made of concrete. So somebody had to light something to put one of the plastic seats on fire, but the thing is made of concrete, and it's like the blaze is out of control. Very weird. Very
weird.
Started
very strange. Just looking at the pictures, it's all the seats.
Somebody had to start it. It's not going to spontaneously combust.
Not good.
The fires affected the suite area and the third level seating area. Well, you can see it starting to sweep because, you know, there might be hot plates and stuff like that. All right, let's go back to the phones. By the way, voting's still going on for Drop Madness, and there's a couple of really, really tight matchups.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness.
They're all tight but one, but I don't want to tell you. I don't want to discourage you from voting. Vote as much. I don't understand why everybody doesn't vote for everything. Like, you're there. Why some get more votes than others? Why wouldn't they all have equal?
Well, wait a second, Donnie. When you go to vote in a voting booth, there's some things you don't vote for. Do you vote for everything?
So you're comparing drops to a comptroller.
Right.
Right. All
it's
of
exactly
our drops are
doing.
For president of the United States. Like, they're all at that level.
Well, I'm a little disappointed and a little bit hurt. You know, the matchup between Peter and Rick today got almost 5,000 votes. Yeah. Where are those votes for Drop Madness?
It's
the first round, Peter, got like 4,000, and then it's dropped.
Yeah, I don't know because
it was just that one because Peter was pushing it on.
Well,
the
I pushed it, and it's people voting for a person, not for a drop. So the people who follow me, if they don't understand what Drop Madness is, they may not vote.
But if they don't understand what Drop Madness is, they shouldn't vote.
It's a great point.
Great. Go to the phones.
Sure.
Millie in the Bronx. Millie.
Hello?
Hello.
Guys, I love you. All three of you. I enjoy my ride home listening to you guys.
Thank you very much.
Don.
Yes.
Peter. Mike. And Mike, I love Jody. I got to tell you. Best decision you ever made. She's the smartest woman I've ever heard on TV. I used to watch her on Fox.
And doesn't that tell you something that she's not on TV anymore? So how smart TV executives are?
I'm so disappointed she's not on TV anymore. But that's okay. She landed a good guy.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, Don, with regards to Deshaun Watson, as an attorney of 20 years, I can tell you we may be appalled, and it burns me to say this. Deshaun Watson is innocent. You don't put 22 women on a scale and Deshaun on the other side of the scale. That's not how the scales of justice work. Unless he is tried and found guilty, the only words that should attach with regards to the situation in a criminal sense,
right.
Is
right.
Deshaun Watson is innocent. However, let's flip it. The women have an opportunity now to proceed in a civil case where the scales of justice are a little lower. It's a preponderance of the evidence. They can prove their case there, and then he can be held civilly responsible if they prove their case.
The is he still innocent then?
The civil case,
is he still innocent, Millie? I'm wondering, is O.J. Simpson considered innocent after he lost the civil suit?
And I was about to tell you, just it's akin. Michael loves nice words. It's akin to O.J. Simpson, found not guilty, but held liable.
What was that?
I don't know. It was an accident.
Oh.
How about the semantics of this, Millie? Right? He's technically innocent, right? But he wasn't found.
No, not technically.
No,
he
let me finish.
Okay.
Is he? But he was not found innocent. And he was not exonerated.
Are we talking about O.J. or are we talking about
Watson. By not going to court, he wasn't found innocent and he wasn't exonerated. But technically, he's innocent. He's not guilty, innocent. If it's one of the two, clearly he's innocent.
I guess the question is,
he wasn't found innocent and he wasn't exonerated. Is that fair?
That is not fair.
I don't understand.
Innocent. Period. It's one sentence.
No, you're a lawyer of 20 years. How can that possibly be the case?
But, I mean, in America, Don, you're innocent until proven guilty, so they didn't charge him, so I guess
know,
he's innocent.
But here's the thing. I get that. That's why, you're innocent or guilty, so obviously he is innocent. You're technically right. But what I was asking from a semantic standpoint, he's not exonerated. By not going to trial doesn't mean that he was exonerated, that this didn't happen. If he goes to court and he's found innocent, he's innocent. They're saying that he is innocent. He's been found innocent. These things did not happen. But because it didn't go to trial, he was not exonerated.
But he's not charged, so you don't have to be exonerated unless you're charged. He's not charged with anything.
You do not have to be exonerated. Imagine if we lived in that kind of criminal justice system. So you do not have to prove your innocence. They have to prove your guilt. By not charging him, let me just say this very important part. The failure to charge is a decision by the district attorney that they make, realizing the cost. And Michael, you said it. This is a high-profile matter, or I think it was Peter, because they analyzed the evidence to make sure that they did not expend resources without knowing that they at least had a good shot, which is why sometimes a prosecutor will not overcharge, because they want to make sure, listen, we may want murder, but let's not overcharge because a jury may come back with a verdict of not guilty. In Deshaun's case, what they did is they probably took collective, they probably interviewed and debriefed all the women, then looked at the charges that could really sustain and be upheld in a court of law under the scrutiny of the letter of the law. And they decided we don't have enough for whatever reason. Now, could politics be at play? Maybe. But whether or not politics are at play, the only word that should follow Deshaun Watson is he is innocent until proven guilty.
I guess, and listen, you're right. You know way more than I do. You've done this for 20 years. Is that I guess what aggravates us, Millie, is when we get a phone call from somebody or a tweet from somebody who says, "See, told you he didn't do it." Like, I don't think we found out we didn't find out what really happened. I guess that's the shame of it. And I really feel bad for those 22 women. We never really found out what happened. And at least a trial would have given us closure, or at least close to closure, on what exactly happened. But 22 women accused him of this. And right from the letter of the law, he's innocent. But Peter, we didn't really get closure on exactly what happened.
Well, no, that's where it becomes a complicated argument. I totally see what Millie's saying, and that was a fantastic call.
It was.
I totally see what she's saying about, like, if you know, us being in public speaking about him, I understand why when you're talking about the legal sense of things, you need to use the word innocent. That she's correct. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, and I know that's correct. I think what we're talking about is, you know, from the standpoint of the Cleveland Browns and the NFL, they're going to end up making a decision about how they think his behavior is punishable. Is some of his behavior punishable? It was decided that it was not criminal, but that doesn't mean it's not punishable by the league. So, by the way, that is what I thought from the very beginning. When I read the original accusations, I thought, well, this sounds really gross. This does not sound good. I don't know if this is criminal. And in the end, they decided it was not criminal. So I totally see what she's saying. He is innocent, and there also is a potential punishment hanging out there for him.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We come back with ENN with Peter, and Don and I will take part as well right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.